Good morning. It's 13th of August. Our first reading for today is 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to read to you today from Brother Tecwyn Morgan's book on Solomon, Solomon, Wise and Foolish. I read, Solomon wanted to be seen and heard, not only by God, but also by all the people of Israel. For his prayer was meant at once to be a petition to God and an instruction to the nation. So he had constructed a bronze or copper platform, which was positioned in front of the altar in the temple courtyard, and he began his prayer standing on that. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood, and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. First he stood, and then he knelt, which is probably the first record of that posture being adopted in prayer. As one writer has commented, a king upon his knees in public, leading the nation in humble supplication to God? A rare spectacle. It was thus expressive of his earnestness in prayer and of his willingness to submit himself entirely to God as he humbled himself before him. It is helpful to note how Solomon went about addressing the God of the universe in this fine example of intercessory prayer, which is recorded for us at some length in both 1 Kings 8 and 2 Chronicles 6. Primarily, Solomon focuses upon God's presence and purpose. He had just finished building the temple and could easily have allowed external things to dominate his thinking, as we can in our own prayers, sometimes being more conscious of what is going on around us than about the one to whom we are speaking. In his prayer, Solomon made immediate contact with God, who had just signified his presence by sending the cloud and driving everyone out, a clear statement that it was his house, not theirs. Starting from that experience, Solomon remembered that the tabernacle in the wilderness had been built without windows and had been covered with several layers of cloth and animal skins to block out all light from inside, for God was and is our only source of true enlightenment. Then he referred to the fact that the temple was now finished as a place which he could inhabit in the midst of his people for ever. No sooner were the words uttered than Solomon knew that the God of glory could not be so contained. Turning to the entire congregation, he blessed them and said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Bring the two accounts of the prayer together, and you will notice that Solomon thought through God's purpose since the Exodus, his choice of David, and David's willing response, which led to the commission given to Solomon to build the temple for God. God had made a covenant with his people, and that covenant, expressed by the tablets of stone within the ark, was now physically at the centre of Israel's national life. This, Solomon recalled before God, had happened because of God's gracious promises made to the fathers and reiterated to David. Now Solomon pleaded the promises, asking that God would continue to do what he had said he would do. And we know that the God who keeps covenant will do just that. Thank you.